So I've got to confess, I must confess that I've contributed over the years, all across the years of my life, to my fair share of conflict. I have. So back to being a upper grade school kid in the backyard at my grandparents, going head to head with my cousin Eric, wiffle ball. I was pitching, he was at bat, he didn't like how I was pitching. He started taunting me, calling me names, thinking that by doing so, then maybe I would lighten up on the heat and throw him a lollipop or two that he could crush over the fence. I was zinging him in there. And he kept taunting me, and I started taunting him back, and it went back and forth, and it ended with us wrestling each other on the ground and exchanging punches, and he was at fault, and I was at fault, but he was at more fault, and my grandpa watched from the back window and grabbed us by the scruff of the neck out the backyard, dangling, both of us, I'm not kidding you, dangling. He said, "Hug and make up." And we did. Until the next time we played wiffle ball. Conflict. I've done my part to contribute a lot. And fast forward to recent years, not proud of it, but too many times working with others, I've contributed to conflict. I have. Working with other leaders, working with other people, when I'm too narrow, when I'm too focused on how I see it, and doggone it, no, I'm right, I contribute to the conflict. So in the next few minutes in Galatians, what we're going to talk about, I need it big time, and so do you. And we're going to discover together this morning that Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness. Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness. What's your favorite fruit? How about it? How many of you like bananas? How many of you don't like bananas? Some people are just really non-banana people. Yeah, okay, all right, fair share of non-banana people. How many of you like grapes? How many of you mainly like fermented grapes? You don't have to answer that. You're in church. How many of you like those fuzzy little things, kiwi? You know what I'm talking about, kiwi? Aren't those fun in a fruit salad? Fun kiwi. How many of you like good old apples? Good old oranges? Orange lovers? Okay. How about lemons? Now what? The right additive, right? None of us are just, oh, I'm going to have a lemon. No. It's a great fruit to add in somewhere. And you know, this natural pile of fruit here, literal fruit, is indeed where Paul borrows this idea and employs this word picture. So in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." And that's our lead off. We set the stage last week for this series with the big picture of Galatians, but our lead off piece is love we're going to consider today. And then he says joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in week by week coming up, we're going to get after each of those. But then he says this, "Against such things there is no law." And we'll unpack along the way more of what he means by that. It's fascinating to grasp core insight about fruit. Fruit possesses the ability to reproduce from deep inside. So if you think about it, it's really interesting to realize that deep inside, most fruit works this way. The seeds are deep inside, and if the seeds get plucked out as the fruit is consumed and then planted, what happens? Well, more springs up. Now, I know not every fruit works exactly that way, but generally speaking, it's an inside-out kind of reproducing a multiplication. It works from the inside out. It's healthy. It's good for you. It's life-giving and reproducing and multiplying. And in a spiritual sense, as Paul's talking about it here, because of Jesus' character, because of Jesus' character being formed in you and through you, there is then greater productivity in the world around you and in the lives of others. So, you look more like Jesus, so others in turn can encounter Jesus and then take on attitudes and actions so they look more like Jesus. And so it becomes this reproducing, multiplying, beautiful, beautiful, life-giving trail of fruit. Chris Wright notes that Paul speaks of fruit in the singular right here. In the singular. It's not really the idea that this list of character qualities are all different kinds of random fruit. It's one whole fruit. And Chris says it's a lot like the wedges of an orange. So it's one orange, but inside when you peel it open and you tear it back, well, you've got wedges of orange there. It's all one fruit, it's orange, and there are wedges to it. And important to note, this list of slices, these slices that Paul describes, well, they're not comprehensive. As if Jesus-like virtue in totality is right here. No, there are other places all across God's grand story, across the Word of God, the sacred scriptures, where we see other fruit. Other qualities of Christ-like character are expressed indeed in other places. These were just the ones Paul wanted to focus on right here for the Galatians in light of their unique circumstances. The Galatian situations of conflict, and factions, and divisions. That was huge for the Galatians. Conflict and factions and divisions. What Paul is aiming for is a strong grasp that Christ-like life is the fruit of the Spirit. Christ-like life is the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it's all about Jesus. Truly, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's about life in him. It's about being made, remade in his image, formed into his very character. And yeah, like we were singing about earlier, more like him, less like me. There's that one line in there, it hit me this morning, a little less like me, and I'm like, shoot, after this week, it needs to be a lot less like me. Yeah, a lot less like me. We need that. We need the fruit. And we very specifically need this fruit of love when facing conflict and factions and dissensions and quarrels and disagreements and divisiveness. Now, there was indeed great conflict in the churches across the Roman province of Galatia. We saw it last week, and we saw three roots. In our intro last week, we saw it, three roots. First, freedom run amok. Freedom run amok. It was this idea that grace means do whatever, with whomever, whenever, whatever. I've got grace, so I can do whatever. And that's a false gospel. Paul says that. In fact, he says it's not even really gospel at all. And then at the other extreme is legalism, as was showing up in their midst via circumcision. Circumcision, this idea of follow through with the details of the law, and then you are right with God. And again, that's a false gospel, Paul says. But Jesus, here's truly good news, the true root, the best root, the one that motivates us more than anything else, truly good news. Jesus indeed motivates the fruit because, well, he lived it and he talked so much about it. I challenged you last week to spend some time this week in Luke 6, where he talks about a good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. You're going to know a tree by its fruit. And Jesus, not just in Luke 6, but numerous other places across the Gospels, got after this idea of good fruit. And we need to note specifically, before we even talk about love this morning, we need to note specifically that this is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, specifically Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness. Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness, and that's happening by the Spirit. Now, a great big expression of this conflict was indeed that license, do whatever, live however you want, versus legalism. And so it was indeed like the lock horns, boom, boom, conflict kind of thing. But it wasn't just the license versus legalism. As we explore all of Galatians, we also see gracious gospel versus law-keeping, boom. Christ-pleasing, aiming to please Jesus and him alone versus VIP-pleasing, very important people, impress them, boom, conflict right there. Uncircumcision versus circumcision, yes. Fear versus faith comes up, boom. Old covenant versus new covenant, clash. Slave woman versus free woman. That's an interesting clash that Paul uses. Spirit versus flesh. Female versus male. Jew versus Gentile. These antithetical themes reveal prevailing conflict in the churches of Galatia in that day. But if we really slow down and think about it, these weren't just first century issues. We can drop in and out of different centuries across history and see, boom, there was conflict, and boom, there was conflict. And 21st century, 2021, boom, we know a little bit of conflict, don't we? Paul focuses and shows us a better way. So even before he gets after the fruit, in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, Galatians 5, 13 through 15, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, note it, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Important backdrop for the lead-off wedge of the fruit, love. Love. Now, again, before we go too far talking about love, pause to consider how we view the Spirit. Can seem mysterious, right? Right? I mean, after all, we're talking about Spirit. In fact, some older translations say Holy Ghost. Ooh. And so it can seem spooky, mystical, mysterious. So let's be clear, the Holy Spirit is indeed Spirit and the divine third person of the Trinity, the divine third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Marvelously involved back at creation and always deeply creative. Deeply creative. If you want something to lock onto and walk away with this morning, don't miss it. Make sure you walk away knowing the Holy Spirit, deeply creative. Always, always creating new things, beautiful things in people all across the biblical story. Moving and stirring and shaking things up and catalyzing and changing. Always creative. The New Testament shows us that the Holy Spirit lives inside every follower of Jesus, given to each of us upon our faith decision, our faith momentum, our step into the realm of grace and salvation. When we go on that journey and we step into faith like that, we're promised the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us and fill us and do that precious work of changing us from the inside out. And so he comes and he comforts. And he convicts of sin. And he counsels us in what is right. And the Holy Spirit is ever-present encourager. Breathes fresh life into us, and fresh wind in our sails when we need it, and fresh courage in us. He encourages us. Ever present like that. And the catalyst for Christ-like character. The catalyst for Christ-like character. So growing in Christ-like character equals fruitfulness. Growing in Christ-like character equals fruitfulness. So instead of leaving it out there mysterious, what in the world is fruitfulness? Growing in Christ-like character equals fruitfulness. So things are on the grow. Things are changing. If you're in one of these spots where you feel the tension in your life and you're like, yes, there needs to be less of me, more of him. That's good. You're on the grow. That's good. Lean in there. Roll with that. Go there. Let the Spirit of God keep doing his new thing in you. It's crucial we see the Holy Spirit as creative catalyst. This is an important perspective because too often, we actually divide up in our day over this. Well, why? How does that happen over the Holy Spirit? Well, what? There are spirit-feeling people? And then there are facts and face value people. And each of you know who you are. And that's a radical oversimplification. I know it is. And there are tons of us, we're somewhere in the middle. I mean, some of you, you're like, you lean more toward the, wow. Whew. Song or two we sang this morning, just felt transported. Or already the verse that we've been in already, it's going, and grabbed your heart, and you're like, the Spirit got me right there. And some of you, you're readily there. And some of you are like, come on, get on with the facts, man. Come on, let's analyze this more. Come on. And you want the face value stuff. Now, most of us are somewhere in between, but I bet you can tell which way you lean. And what often happens? Well, we divide over this. We divide up over this, and we end up pointing fingers, or one group says of the other group, what in the world? You know, the group over here goes, they're off their rockers, woo! The group over here is like, they never have the Holy Spirit, There can be divisiveness like that in big ways. Evan Howard gives a helpful word. Howard says, Christian spiritual formation is not simply fostering the experience of the Spirit. Now, no, Howard doesn't say it's not about the experience. He says it's not simply fostering the experience of the Spirit, but rather a radical formation, a shaping and molding of the believer into conformity with Christ through the Spirit. So it's marvelous. It's marvelous when we remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when Jesus said, the day is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And what he was getting after there was this idea of marvelously blending and understanding and acceptance. A very big mark of maturity. Very big mark of maturity is when we learn to blend perspectives, recognize our biases, and accept each other. We can and should aim for greater fruitfulness like that. So we cultivate greater Christ-likeness flowing from the Word and the Spirit. Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness. Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness. And so notice, love is first. Love is first. Love leads the list. Scott McKnight says, while love is not the only fruit of the Spirit, it is the most important to Paul. And some would maintain that everything else, all the other slices, they slice out of the orange of Christ-likeness off of love. That love is foundational, that love is the biggest chunk of the fruit, and all the others flow out of that. This is God's style of love. This is God's style of love based on agape. The old Greek word for love, agape love, meaning selflessness, meaning sacrificial, for the other's good kind of love. It's that kind of love. It's not me, me, me kind of love. It's not I gotta feel good out of this relationship kind of love. It's not what's in it for me. It's the good of the other person. Agape, God-style love. And so Jesus majored on this love in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. If you've been around for the start of the year, you saw us during our opening series of the year talk often about that section where Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it's all about that, Jesus said. You can sum up all of the law and prophets right there. Paul spoke about it, certainly the verses we read a few moments ago in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and then also 5, 6. Look what he says. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, what was their primary, boom, conflict point? Circumcision versus uncircumcision. And he says, listen, that doesn't count for anything. What counts most is faith expressing itself through what? Love. Yeah. Precious and powerful lead off slice of fruit. But notice he was concerned about genuine expression, active faith, humble service, and practical expression toward one's neighbor. This is not just feel-good, sentimental, gushy-mushy love. This isn't just you sitting here this morning. It can be really tempting to hear this message this morning and go, yeah, I'm a loving person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the warm fuzzies toward family and friends and people here at church. And no, good start. Yeah, good start, but that's not really what Paul's driving at. It's expressive of true faith. It's expressive of true faith. Keller says, love this, important distinction. He says, we are saved by faith, not by growing fruit. In other words, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. Don't think, okay, it's just all about become more of a loving person, express that really great to other people, and then I'm in with God. We're not saved by fruitless faith. He says, but we are not saved by fruitless faith. A person saved by faith will be a person in whom the fruit of the Spirit grows. And in other words, it'll be evidence that your faith is real. Boom, dynamite, there it is, powerful, whoa, yes, the fruit shows it. The faith is alive. Your faith in Jesus, well, the tree is good and there's good fruit. Paul most certainly has action-oriented relational love toward others in view. The focus is how the Holy Spirit produces God-like supernatural love for others. It's Christ's style of love, self-sacrificial, take up a cross, lay down your life on behalf of others. It's that kind of love. So how does such love show up? How does such love show up? Well, in some basic senses, consider these ways. Love forgives when it makes no sense because the offense is too big and the wound is too deep. And we've all experienced those. Wounds too deep, offense too big. We've all had those situations. It's the kind of love that forgives. This love is go the distance and keep going there daily. This love changes diapers, guys. And does dishes. Not just in some grand show expression. Earning my great husband badge tonight. No. Over and over and over again. Yes. This love goes there. This love leans in to render exceptional, first-rate, serve clients with stellar ethics style of work on the job every day. Yeah, this is love goes to work with you. It's that kind of love. Such love joins a team here at church and serves others faithfully. It very intentionally builds friendship connections with joyous aim of helping someone else meet Jesus, his saving grace, and his resulting life change, and the heart motivation to follow him fully as a growing disciple. This love goes there. And this love sticks and stays and sticks some more and stays some more, aiming to overcome conflict, divisions, and factions, which was the original great big issue for the Galatians. Don't forget this bigger scene. Bam! Conflict. Whole lot like, has anybody ever channel surfed and found battle bots? Ever seen that? Yeah, what happened? Oh my goodness. At first I was like, this is stupid. And then 20 minutes later, I'm hooked. What? These grown men, well, sort of grown, what? They build these robots and then what? Boom, boom, boom. And what? Oh, one-on-one, big battles, big conflict. Fascinating. Crazy. It's like battle bots. Christ's love truly comes to bear in productive ways during battle bot style conflict with others. And divisions and dissensions and factions when we don't see eye to eye amidst political upheaval. The love goes here. When not everyone agrees about how to treat gay family and friends, this love goes there. When we don't all agree about best practices during a pandemic, this love goes there. When finer points of theological debate are causing great disruption, this love leans in and goes there. Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness. So how about some tools for facing conflict? If you're like me, I need tools. I need tools. My own hands, my own brain power, they're not enough. So if I'm going to do a house project, which my skill is limited on, I really need some good tools. If I'm going to do an automotive project, which my skill is really limited on, I need good tools if I'm courageous enough to get after one of those. So consider some tools for applying Jesus-style love in conflict. Here's the first one. Face in instead of away. Face in instead of run. Oh, now what do we normally want to do? I'm out of here. Flight is our normal default. Instead, pull up a chair. Pull up a chair. Face in. Even though everything inside of you says, I want out of here. I want to run. Second big tool, ask better questions. Ask better questions. When you want the conversation to be done, right when you think this should be done, instead, ask more questions, invite more explanation. A question like, please tell me more. Help me understand more. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Because I don't quite get it yet. Could you help me? And you mean that genuinely with an open heart? Ask more questions. Here's a third tool. Listen with a goal to genuinely learn more than you talk, tell, and convince. Listen with the goal to genuinely learn more than you tell, talk, and convince. Real love aims to stretch, grow, and see better from the other person's point of view instead of just be more feisty and good for another fight. Some of us think we do conflict well because we've really gained a fondness and a fascination for fighting. And so if somebody asks you, well, hey, how well do you do conflict? Yeah, I do it well. Really? There needs to be a truly open heart to stretch, to grow, to see better, not just be more feisty. Most of you have been around for a while. You know this by now. I have a strong personality and opinions, which is good, and it's essential in leadership. And I'm often right. Except for all those times when I'm not, which is quite often. Remembering that is vital. For me, big time. For you, for every one of us. It's essential to listen with the goal to genuinely learn, not just talk, tell, and convince. Here's another big tool. Be more courageous to share directly what you think and how you feel. Too many of us, we grow up learning to just stuff things. Some of you are really great stuffers. Just stuff it. And it's going to come out somewhere. You stuff it. Some of us, we have perfected passive-aggressive. Never revealing what you're really thinking, what you're really feeling. Well, it cheats everyone, including you, because you just bottle it all up inside. Here's another big tool. This one's huge. Mutuality of healthy posture. Mutuality of healthy posture. Vanquishing the other is not the goal. Shutting the other person down or up should not be the aim. Growing more like Jesus through the conflict. That's the goal. Growing more like Jesus through the conflict. That's the goal. I've been in situations where I got a ways into the conflict and could tell that the other person's aim was to shut me up. And I'm thick-skinned and open, but eventually they succeed. Because eventually something just kicks in me and I'm like, okay. And when there's not mutuality, everyone loses in that process. If I do that towards somebody else, if you do that towards somebody else, everybody loses. Notice it's not get over the conflict, it's not dodge around it, it's grow through it. Grow through it. One more tool, this one's huge. Huge. Regularly trade your other and enemy view for brother and sister view. Regularly trade other enemy view for brother and sister. Image of God view. Image of God. The gospel's aim truly is Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Truly. Paul says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, notice he is not saying, teaching, ascribing some universalism. Oh, just everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's in with God no matter what. That's not what he's saying. He says you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And then look at the result. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God has been growing a global family, new bunches of fruit all over, Abraham's seed from all peoples based on true, holy faith in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Take a look. Watch this. St. Paul says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Serve one another humbly in love. And then at the very top of chapter 6, he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, he says, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This love sticks. This love sticks. Sticks with people and cheers for them, even when they're irritating, grumpy, short-fused, less than Jesus-like, and absolutely exasperating to be around. Real love is pervasively patient. I am so grateful. I have family who over the years have been so patient with me. So many of you over the years, you have been so lovingly patient with me as I've tried to keep growing to look more like Jesus. Thank you. If you recognize conflict and division with family, with friends, in your workplace, with people here at church, if you're struggling to express real love, well, then step your heart back into this reality. God is the source. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God Himself is the source of true love, best seen in Jesus. Best seen in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so the Father's gift, the gift of His one and only Son, that love, that John 3:16 love, even though we were His enemies, even though we had done our own thing and spit hatred His way and otherwise rebelled, Christ's love poured out on the cross for you, for me. The crown of thorns and the whipping and the nails, the blood, His agonizing death for me, for you. That's true love. Christ-style love guides us through great conflict into greater fruitfulness. Gabby and the team are going to come back and lead us in a closing song that allows our hearts to walk back into that love. Don't miss it as we get ready to sing. Don't miss it. After talking about the fruit, and go ahead, you can stand your feet. Go ahead, stand up, yeah. After talking about the fruit, what's Paul say? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Let's walk in step with the love of God like that. Jesus, thank you so much. Father and Holy Spirit, thank you so much. Your love on the cross poured out for us. We thank you so much. Ignite a fresh spark of that love in each of our hearts so we know you more deeply, so we love you more clearly, more succinctly. And let that love spring up out of us to living, vibrant, life-changing action, real fruitfulness in the lives of others all around us. Do that work, that seed of your work, your love, deep in us. Work that from the inside out for the good not only of each of us, Jesus, but for the good of others, our brothers and sisters, made in your image. Amen. Let's sing out together.